country. Told the pain that it's been through. She's been made to suffer. For the profit of a few. Storm clouds are out forming. Wind of change now tops our shores. I hear both fathers are crying as the dreams may cruise America. I show my love for thee with strength and royal speed. America, I show my love for you in all that I do. All that I do. For my country and for friends and family. Mourning in the ignorance while staying safe within a dream. I will fight for freedom and away liberty. I die for my country, slaying corporate dynamism. I show my love for thee with strength and loyalty. Time of tragedy. I just want some answers. So the truth is set us free. And the truth will set us free. I say hallelujah.
That was Prayer for America by Poker Face. And this is Truth Quest with Melody. And we are on KATNLP 106.9 Salida, a community-supported radio. And we are streamed on the Internet at khen.org. And tonight, my special guest is Barry Chomish, and he is on. This is his second time to come back, and we and he's Israel's most controversial writer. 10 years ago, he claimed in his best-selling book, "Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin?" that the prime minister was murdered in a coup from within his own party. And in the last 3 years, every major newspaper poll has proved the majority of the Israelis support Chomish. And he believes that the second Holocaust is being engineered in Israel at this time, and that soon Israel will cease to exist as we know it, and it will become a country without borders, and Jerusalem will become a multinational city run by a team that includes the Vatican. And he's from Winnipeg, Canada.
No, I'm not.
Well, it says, oh, it says born in Winnipeg.
Well, I suppose so, but 35 years, so it's kind of irrelevant.
Well, you're going to have to go in and change your website reading then. So
it actually says that on my website?
Yes, it does.
I got to stick to my webmaster.
Well, I'll go ahead and let you finish explaining what your background is.
Well, it was very good till then. But if I haven't been in place for 35 years, why mention it?
Well, I think it's kind of interesting, too. Isn't that where the NAFTA highway is going through?
I've heard rumors like that. But, you know, when I was forced out of Israel, it became too scary. In a very short period last year, it began with a stroke. And, by the way, I had a stroke about, 2 weeks, 3 weeks after Sharon had his phony stroke, and I started expounding on how that was done by Shimon Peres. Sharon's stroke was after drinking tea with Peres in the Knesset. He felt very bad within half an hour and was taken to the hospital by one Yoram Rubin. He was the guy who really shot Rubin. And then I got a stroke, and I strongly suspected that this thing wasn't a natural stroke. Someone busted my apartment and put something in my drinking glasses or my fridge. I don't know, but I didn't believe it was real. And then came lawsuits, followed by a car crash, and then I was dead. And then they revived me on the hospital table 3 times because I was dead. And I was maltreated in the hospital, and then I figured I better get out of here. I'm on somebody's list, and I better get away for a little while. Israel, after 30-odd years, has turned very nasty against me, and that's how I ended up in the States. As for Canada, I actually went there because I had the ability as a Canadian citizen to get health insurance, which I can't get in the States. But Canada itself is very hard for a thinking person to live in Canada. What's your favorite Canadian movie?
You know, there was a period of time when I was watching a lot of Canadian movies.
Yeah, we'll make one.
But I'll tell you, I can't think of them right now.
Yeah, exactly. We're not watching a lot of them, okay?
No, there really was. There was a phase back in the 80s when there was a few of them coming out of Canada.
Well, name one.
Yeah, I can't tell you one of the 10 or 15,000 I've watched.
Yeah, you can't name one. And I'll make life easier. Name a Canadian invention.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So we don't have to pursue this. It's not a good place for a thinking person. It's a place where nothing but nothing original is invented or created. So I went there and I saw what it was, and it was no different than when I was young. And, I looked for a way out. The way out was a very lovely girl in Florida who I married, and I'm happy with, and she's happy with me, and that's why I live in the States right now. It was a long journey, but that's how I got here. And I still don't have health insurance.
Well, a lot of us don't.
Well, yeah, but all over the world it's universal. This is the only place I've ever seen where you actually have to pay like hundreds of dollars a month for something that is almost free everywhere else in the world. You got to fix that up. It's a real mess.
There are those that claim they're working on it, but that'll be the day, I think.
It's not good. You don't pay $300-$400 for health insurance. You pay $20, and that's the way it was in Israel, and that's the way it was in Canada. but America's kind of deficient that way. And I don't think I can fight the pharmaceutical companies and actually get universal health care in the United States. But other than that, it's really the place where I should be, other than Israel, which really is my home, and I left under extreme duress. I mean, if you don't know me, if your listeners don't know me and what I've written, and I've been covering the deep, deep corruption that, well, always was Israel, and it has nothing to do with the Arabs. I mean, they're even, well, more corrupt. That's not the issue. The issue is people who think Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. It could not be less democratic. It's just an utter fallacy. As for the Arabs, at least everyone knows they are fascistic and primitive, so there's no secret there. The real problem is Israel, which, well, it's at war with its own people. That's the real problem with Israel. And it's at war with religion, and it's killing people. It's just murdering the religious of Israel. And it's, well, ultimately, destroying the state of Israel. And I was very well known in Israel. My book, Humor to Yitzhak Rabin, was in fact a bestseller in Israel. I was on TV constantly. I was a celebrity there. And I guess somebody got sick of that because I had a very, very bad few months where I knew I was just in trouble. And if I stayed a little longer, I'd be one of the victims. So I took off. And, well, the gods got me to Florida where I live with a very lovely woman. And she converted to Judaism, and we had a wedding this week. And I don't know how all this happened, but it did. So that's the story in a nutshell.
Well, congratulations. That you know, I think, you know, from what I read and on various sites on the net, I think there's a lot of people that are confused over the position of the Arab and Israeli conflict, and you bring a different light to it, but
that there's no peace process, that it's all been a sham, that the Council on Foreign Relations is running your country into the ground, that the Vatican is a lot stronger than people understand, that kind of perspective.
That could be it. And tell us a little bit, what does the Vatican play there? And do they not own the Temple Mound or something?
Own it? They don't even have their finger in it. What are you talking about?
Well, somewhere I thought I read that.
Who says they own it? That is so far from the truth.
Well,
but that's not the point. They view Jerusalem as their capital. And I have a DVD, which I recorded in Jerusalem almost 2 years ago on the Vatican's new crusade for Jerusalem. And later on, I'll tell you how to get it. Where I had experts, historians, really a great audience. And we go through the actual, what was the Holy Roman Empire of the Germanic nation, and how Charlemagne became the ruler of Jerusalem, though he's never been there, and how after the Second Crusade, Frederick Barbarossa became the king of Jerusalem, and how the Vatican wants their capital back. All of this may sound like medieval or ancient history to you, but it sure is not ancient or medieval history in the Vatican. They view Jerusalem as their capital, and they sure as hell don't want Jews on the Temple Mount. And well, I've got many books that delve into grand depth on the Vatican's role in the destruction of modern Israel, but they're a big player. The Council on Foreign Relations in America is the other big player. And combined, it's what is known amongst a lot of people as the New World Order. And a lot of people who use that term don't know what the hell they're talking about, which is kind of a good thing that I write these books. At least I divide up the definitions, and I put them in some order.
Okay. Yeah, tell us a little bit about, you know, some of the works that you have written, Barry.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of them. All right, to make life easier, first of all, go to my website, and I don't have to talk as much. We have tonight, what, about 50 minutes?
We have till almost 5 till.
So it's about 50, right?
Yeah.
All right, I can't do it. Last time I had 2 hours, it was a lot easier. Go to just to www.barrychamish.com. That's BARRYCHAMISH.com. Go into the archives section, and you can delve in and find out in grand depth what my work is. The work that made me actually famous. In Israel, I was like a star. I had a number one best-selling book called Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin. Now, the murder of Rabin is very, very big news in Israel, and it will never, ever go away. I discovered that this year when polls were taken in Israel, and lo and behold, a majority of the religious population and a third of the secular believe Rabin was murdered in a conspiracy. I hope you're aware of these polls. You are on my email list, so I guess you get a number of my little, reports.
Mm-hmm. Yes, in fact, you'd sent one just recently about the Rabin guard that maybe...
Oh, yeah. the guard who guarded Rabin on the night he was murdered is heading the team guarding George Bush when he comes to Jerusalem next month. Can you imagine how scared his bodyguard team in America, the Secret Service, must be that this guy is arranging the guarding of Bush?
I think it's kind of interesting, that's for sure.
Oh, this was a fun place. I mean, look, Rabin was murdered at the time Clinton knew darn well he was about to be knocked off. There was no funny stuff about the Rabin murder. It was done. Shimon Peres was ultimately the Israeli force behind the murder. He arranged it. The actual shooter, now this is where I got in trouble in Israel, because I pointed out a very nasty fact. The actual shooter of Rabin was not the guy sitting in jail, Yigal Amir. It was his personal bodyguard that night. It wasn't Rabin's personal bodyguard usually, but that night was Yoram Rubin. He's the guy who shot Rabin, but he's also the guy that brought Sharon into hospital to die. The same hit squad knocked off Sharon. Now, Sharon is still alive, but he's waiting for a brain transplant, apparently, in hospital. And that was Shimon Peres. Had tea with Sharon, and a half an hour later, Sharon had a stroke. I started writing about this. My voice has never been the same because they gave me a stroke.
So it's kind of, and you were... you were also brought up a lot of the rabbis of that.
Oh, they're knocking them off. Now, I was going to talk about that this week because the latest two children of rabbis were killed outside Hebron. Very, very powerful and influential rabbis. It was David Rubin and Amikam Amichai. Their fathers are hugely important rabbis. Now, this is not a one-time deal. To get the Jews out of Judea and Samaria, or what in Hebrew is called the Asia, they have been knocking off the rabbis and their children for years. But this year has been just horrible. I mean, this week there were two more dead. 2 weeks ago, a very major, major personality by the name of Ido Zoltan, who was removed. removed by the Israeli army from his home in Chomish, and he was trying to regain Chomish, and his father was a major contractor in Judea and Samaria, was knocked off 3 days before a convention to resettle Chomish. Now, I know your listeners don't know these details, and I'm trying to keep it simple, but if you think Jews don't kill Jews, you don't know Israel. Jews do so kill Jews, and this is and by the way, it's not the first time in history, and we can go over that. Our time is a little short tonight, but Jews certainly murder Jews, and the leaders of Israel are killing off the most creative and most powerful religious and political personalities in Judea and Samaria. This week, two more were killed. The Arabs are the trigger men, but they're working hand-in-hand with the Israeli Secret Service, the Shabak, to knock off anyone of influence in Judea and Samaria. The numbers now are close to 100.
So is this a particular faction of the Jews? Or?
Yeah, it's called the secret government. It's the actual leadership of Israel, the people who founded the state, and they are a nasty, nasty, horrible bunch of people. Now, I could give you the whole lecture on how Israel was never founded to be a shelter for the Jewish people, on how the Jewish Agency, which, of course, is the home of labor Zionism, were working with the Nazis. In 1933, they signed what is known as the Transfer Agreement with the Nazis, that the Nazis could do whatever they wanted to the Jews of Europe, just get up to the German Jews, which is what they did. And this is a long, complicated history, but it's not unknown now in Israel, partly because of me, really. But there were great Jewish thinkers that I'm standing on the shoulders of giants. Amongst the giants are Rabbi Marvin Antleman, from Canada, Neuberger, Rabbi Yoel Brand. There are many brave Jews have told the story of how Israel was founded, and it was not founded by patriotic Jews. It was founded by Jews who despise Judaism, and they are called the Sabbatean Jews, named after a false messiah named Shabtai Tzvi of the 17th century. But I'm just going to confuse your listeners if we go on to this direction tonight.
Okay, so what direction did you want to go in? And while I'm at it...
This is the general direction that they're going to get rid of Judea, Samaria, half of Jerusalem, but all of Israel is in mortal danger right now. That's the specific topic of tonight. If you ever get me back to actually talk about Sabbateanism and the labor Zionists who founded Israel, I'll be more than happy to do so.
Okay.
And keep in mind, there was a very good Zionism that was destroyed by these labor Zionists. That was what was known as the revision Zionism, led by Zev Jabotinsky, who in 1933 was thrown out of the Jewish Agency, the governing body of the Jews of Israel, and they never saw the light of day until Begin was elected in 1977. But I'm getting you lost again. I'm worried about that.
Well, was this faction working with other factions around the world of another sect?
No.
Or, okay.
No, they were on their own. They had no other.
And they're not the ones that are involved in with the war with the Arabs, Palestinians, or the Lebanon?
No, they're involved with the peace with the Arabs. That's the whole irony, and I guess what makes my point of view not only accurate, it turns reality upside down. No, they're involved with peace with the Arabs. They're the ones that signed the Oslo, so-called peace accord in 1993 and brought Israel down to its knees. They're going to be the ones who will destroy Israel, and I assure you, they will benefit personally at the top very well by the end of Israel. If Israel goes, they will benefit the same way as after the Holocaust. They'll steal the bank accounts of the victims, and they will ideologically attempt to create an Israel that doesn't believe in Judaism, that hates the Torah. That's what Israel was when it was founded. It was never a Jewish state. The real problem with Judea and Samaria was it was becoming the center of Torah Judaism. It was reviving Judaism, and that had to go. I mean, you could not have an Israel found on anti-Judaism. The anti-Judaism was Shabtai Tzvi and another false messiah named Jacob Frank. I'm doing that just to be accurate and not to confuse you. But the Israel that was founded was a terribly non-Jewish state. It despised Judaism. And that's the war that's going on with Israel right now. The actual founders of Israel, the people that control the media, the courts, the police, are fighting a war against the religious of Israel, who really founded almost a new state in Judea and Samaria, and they're killing them off. They're working hand-in-hand with Fatah to kill these Jews off. And I'm reporting about the string of murders that these labor Zionists have done against the religious Jews, including Rabin and Sharon for different reasons, but there's a lot more than them. It's very close. Well, it's certainly serial murder, but it's getting very close to a massacre.
But what's in it for them to do that? I mean,
they hate Judaism.
Right, but what do they have some kind of end in mind?
It was found not to be Jewish. It was founded to be a secular state that believes the Torah is right only in its opposite sense. That was the theology of Shabtai Tzvi. You know what? I'm going to interrupt. I'm going to do this now.
Okay.
Will you allow me to plug?
Go ahead.
There's only one way. Anyone who is interested in this, and by the way, it is really the true blue, real reality of Israel. Look at my books. The book you want to look at for this subject is called Shabtai Tzvi, Labor Zionism, and the Holocaust. Do you have a copy of that book?
No, I have a copy of the one on Israel.
They're all on Israel.
I'm trying to think of it's sitting on my counter.
Give it to me. If you don't have it, I'll tell you how to get it.
Uh-huh.
You can download it to your computer tonight for $10.
Right,
you go to lulu.com, www.lulu.com. It says search in the right-hand corner. Write my name on top, Chamish. That's Chamish. And this is it's the second book. The latest book is by the Gaza. We'll talk about how they got the Jews of the Gaza Strip and caused a rocket war in that country, which is just eating away the country at this very moment and for the last year and a half, ever since the Israelis abandoned really their most productive and patriotic people, the people of the Gaza Strip and northern Samaria, and we've been rewarded with a rocket war that has made, the Western Negev and the southwest of the Israeli coast uninhabitable. Well, in the case of Sderot, the city is uninhabitable. Ashkelon is heading that way. This was all because of the abandonment of the Jews of Gush Katif. That's the other book, Bye-Bye Gaza. The book we're talking about right now, Shabtai Tzvi, Labor Zionism and the Holocaust, you get it at lulu.com.
This one had Israel on the title, is what I was saying.
Well, I've got a few with The Last Days of Israel.
That's it, I think.
Israel Betrayed. They're also on lulu.com.
Right.
The point is, it's very hard to do this in a soundbite. We're talking that well, day is night and black is white and left is right. And in other words, your reality has to change. The amount of propaganda about Israel, well, it's thorough. The entire history of Israel has been a myth. Now, again, don't mix up the war with the Arabs. The Arabs are, well, I'm going to give one fact of many, and I could do a whole show on the phony war with the Arabs. Just keep in mind that the Ottoman Turks brought in hundreds of thousands of Arabs from Bosnia-Herzegovina. It was, from Kazakhstan. They moved them all over their empire in the late 19th century, moved them into Israel. The business that there is an ancient Palestinian people is a total joke. I mean, let's not fool around with the Arab side of things. The Arabs are just absolutely savage, and there's no dealing with them. Their hatred for Israel is way up there now. It's no less than the Nazi hatred of Israel, which again was promulgated and which again was promoted by these labor Zionists. Now, keep in mind, there was a good Zionism. Menachem Begin was the most honorable prime minister of Israel, and he represented a good Zionism. Sharon stuck himself, well, thanks to Henry Kissinger at a meeting in January of 1974, Sharon stuck his left-wing Shalom Zion party into the Beirut party of Begin and destroyed it from within. And unfortunately, the hard way I learned how it was done, I was a soldier in Lebanon in 82, and Sharon, he just told his allies, the Christian phalangists, to go and sabre and Shatila and massacre everyone in sight. The idea was to destroy Begin and the Beirut party, and it did its job, and he was rewarded later on, becoming Prime Minister of Israel. It's a mess there. The right wing is thoroughly, thoroughly infiltrated in ways people cannot begin to imagine.
Okay, but if they had this, you were in this war against Lebanon in 82, is what's going on now kind of a continuation of that, or is this another?
What's going on now?
I mean, when they were bombing the heck out of Lebanon.
Oh, forget they were bombing the heck out of Lebanon. Lebanon was bombing the heck out of Israel. And it wasn't Lebanon, it was the Hezbollah. Again, northern Israel was abandoned in July of 2005. 2 million people left northern Israel because their cities were being bombed by the Hezbollah when Israel is bombing Lebanon. Look, you have to understand, that's a separate war. That war was fought as a proxy war for the Bush administration, which isn't even true. It's the Council on Foreign Relations. Israel had 3 soldiers kidnapped. I maintain with a good deal of evidence that Israel allowed these soldiers to be kidnapped in order to fight a war and prove that you could defeat Hezbollah with just the Air Force. Hezbollah, not even 1,000 ragtag worth of terrorists, and Israel lost to them because you could not defeat them just with the Air Force. And the Israeli people suffered miserably. They lost that war. And again, Olmert, who is incredibly corrupt, and maybe we'll touch on that as well, cost Israel its first loss in any war, and it wasn't even to an army. I wouldn't worry about Israel bombing. I'd worry who it was bombing for, and the people it was bombing for are sitting in Washington right today.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. Where's the tie-in with the U.S.?
I just said
okay, well, that was what I was... Okay, then I was just reiterating that.
I mean, what more do I have to add to that? The U.S. Was preparing to bomb Iran. It has no infantry left. The Iraqis used up these the American infantry. Israel said it could be done with just the Air Force, and Israel has proven very wrong. It could not be done with just the Air Force. I mean, this is the time with Washington was the war itself.
So are you saying that the Israelis are kind of patsies for the, you know, what Washington wants going on there? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Look, Israel right now is being destroyed. There probably will not be an Israel within a couple of years, maybe even less. Israel will be slammed with a missile war. And the only way that Israel can be saved is if foreign troops from NATO and the EU and whatever is left of the United States walk in and separate the forces and force some peace down Israel's throat. But the only way the country can be saved. Israel is on the way out.
Okay, and what's the purpose in them doing that to them?
Who needs Israel? What good is Israel? It serves no purpose whatsoever. It previously was supposedly the only democracy in the Middle East. Who could care less about that now? And it lost the war against Hezbollah, and it serves no military purpose anymore. And when you talk about this New World Order, what I write about is what the Illuminati really is, which everyone just gets wrong. The Illuminati is 100% the Vatican. It was founded by, well, at least as far as we know, Adam Weishaupt was the founder of the Illuminati. Adam Weishaupt met with the second fake messiah of the Jews, Jacob Frank, in 1786 in Frankfurt, Germany, at the home of Mayor Amschel Rothschild. They came up with a horrible conspiracy. Rothschild, that family, the five sons, only wanted to control the money of different countries. Weishaupt wanted to end the Protestant Reformation, and Frank wanted to end Judaism and replace it with the Judaism of Shabbat Tzvi. Believe it or not, these people have turned the earth since 1786 to one giant revolution, war, and Holocaust. It's been a horrible, horrible couple centuries since they got
But being that they're bankers, and the bankers make money off of war, that's where
Who's
they're
bankers?
Money. Your Rothschilds.
Well, they make a good profit off wars, sure, but that's not what's going on. I mean, they get their profits, but the real war is ideological. The Vatican don't like the Protestant Reformation, and they want to disrupt the societies and they've done a marvelous job, by the way, of the Europeans who oppose the Pope in Rome, and they want to disrupt their church and their family and their morality, and this is what they're up to. That's what the Illuminati is. To call the Illuminati the New World Order is absolute nonsense. To say that somehow the Illuminati are in London in the banking houses, that's nonsense. And again, the business with the Sabbateans, their headquarters in America certainly, but broader than that, it's the Council on Foreign Relations. And this is what I cover in my writing in grand detail. There really is only two, well, there are two movements destroying Israel. It's going to get to America fast enough, and that is the Vatican, with a lot of Jesuit influence, by the way, lots and lots of it, and the Council on Foreign Relations, which, by the way, has lots of Vatican influence as well, but also believes that spreading Anglo-Saxon, British, so-called democracy worldwide is also a priority. Those are the two headquarters of a lot of trouble in the planet right now.
Okay, well, all your books, if I wanted to get a good feel of what you're talking about here, which one would you recommend?
Well, you go to Lulu.com.
Mm-hmm.
Save Israel.
Okay.
Save Israel and Bye Bye Gaza, I guess, will cover them all. I'll leave you a phone number as well. I've got a DVD. I've got a couple of them. But the one on the Vatican's new campaign against Israel, a 2-hour DVD, is something that is not very expensive, and you can't get it on Lulu. You can get it through me, and my number is 904-501-7605. I'll repeat that, 904-501-7605, and I guess those are the best. The Vatican's crusade against Israel, and the books, Save Israel, which, if someone phones me, I have a few copies left, but Lulu.com is where you actually see the books.
Okay.
And you know what surprised me, labor signers of the Holocaust? If you want to know where the Jewish conspiracy is, it's not very Jewish. But there is a conspiracy out there just absolutely destroying the Jewish people. And I think you might benefit by knowing about it.
Does it tie in with any of the other global depopulation?
It's everything.
Does it tie in with the other global depopulation that's been
It is
made?
A global thing. It's a CFR. Look, this is not... All right, let's simplify matters again. You know, one thing about Shapitsky and Jacob Frank, they weren't just minor false messiahs. They had half the Jewish population... believing in them. On June 18th of 1666, Shabbat Zvi declared he was the Messiah of the Jews. And that date, by the way, all comes from the Vatican. Jews could care less about 666. It's not that theology. That is Catholic theology that's been transferred to Protestants. But nonetheless, half the Jews of the world assumed that there was a new Messiah, and they sold their goods a penny on the dollar, and they climbed mountains expected to be transported to the New Jerusalem. The Muslims put a stop to Shabbat Zvi. They put a knife to his throat and told him he's going to become a Muslim or die in agony. He became a Muslim. Most Jews abandoned him, but not all. There was a sect that believed there was a secret message, and his message was to infiltrate other religions and spread this Sabbateanism, which was anti-Torah. In other words, whatever was in the Torah, the opposite was true. Taking the most extreme example, which I often do not kill became do kill. And with that Holocaust, again, I mentioned Rabbi Marvin Antleman, who wrote the great book To Eliminate the Opiate, where he said the Holocaust was the burnt offerings of the Sabbateans. They had orgasmic pleasure from the burning of the Jews of Europe. And it's a long jump, and a big one. But whenever the CFR appoints someone to high office, some journalist somewhere does a little bio, and what do we discover? Well, we discover that John Kerry's father was a Jew from Prague, the capital of Sabbateanism, Who doesn't know what the father is? Everyone thought he was an Irish Catholic. His father and his father's family are Jewish. Madeleine Albright, she doesn't remember that her entire family is Jewish. Did you know that Madeleine Albright's father, a professor at the University of Colorado in Denver, was the mentor of Condoleezza Rice, that the previous anti-Semitic bitch of a Secretary of State was trained and taught by the previous Secretary of State's father in Colorado? And again, go onto my website, go to articles, and you'll find that, this information. Wesley Clark is bombing the hell out of Bosnia, and as lo and behold, we discover his father is Jewish. There are a lot of people with Jewish backgrounds who may call themselves Catholics or Protestants, and their children may be Catholics and Protestants, but they are Sabbateans. They despise Judaism, and the real sad part is they control the establishment of Israel. How is that explanation?
Okay, one thing. Why don't you give the definition of Sabbateanism?
Oh, Lord, I just did.
Well, okay, then you're...
Let me follow Shabbat C. What more can there be?
Okay, so in other words, you're saying that these are people of Jewish ancestry that...
They have partial Jewish ancestry.
Okay, and that they don't subscribe to the religion. Is that what
you're saying? They hate the religion of Judaism.
All right.
They despise it. And... Again, I've done the CFR. Cherry, Albright, Clark, they're all CFR.
And I've heard this before and read it.
You heard it from me, I think.
Well, no, I've actually also read it.
It takes a few times to kick in.
Well, there's a lot of terms. I mean, there's a lot of history there.
One term, Sabbateanism.
Okay.
One term. There's not a lot of them. One. And that's who founded Israel. Now, the people who founded Israel are known as the labor Zionists. There's the other term. Today, they may be called the far left or the left or whatever you want. They are the peacemakers. They are going to destroy Israel, probably in a Holocaust.
So there's no relation between Zionism and Sabbateanism?
Not Zionism, labor Zionism.
Okay.
It was a perfectly good Zionism. Again, the Zionism of Begin and Jabotinsky, they were thrown out of what you would call Zionism in 1933 because of an agreement with the Nazis called the Transfer Agreement, where the Nazis agreed to send the Jews of Germany to Palestine and make life miserable for all Jews of Europe. And again, these people were going to found a new Judaism in Israel based on the seed of German Jews, and they were going to let the rest of the world's Jews get massacred. And these people do not want a Torah-loving Judaism taking over Israel. And that's what happened in Judea, Samaria, and Gaza. The last thing they wanted is what happened. These people were supposed to be wiped out by the Arabs, but they formed a cohesive and strong society that was defeating the enemy. And this has got to be defeated not by the Arabs. It's got to be defeated by the Jews, or, well, by the Sabbateans. Let's not mix them up. I realize this is not a simple concept, and I've got books that explain it very well, and I'll give my phone number again for the DVDs. And it's 904-501-7605. And if you want the books, you go to lulu.com, write my name, CHAMISH, and you'll get the books. And the website is barrychamish.com. And all of that combined has got to do the trick.
Well, I am coming from a background
of... you've seen me in person.
Oh, yes, but there's still a lot of history there, though. What?
You should be educated by now.
Well, you would not believe this amount of material I end up reading and seeing that it doesn't always stick in my mind.
This stuff is unique. Read it again. Mm-hmm. You know my email address.
Right.
Send me your address. I'll send something out to you. At the end of the broadcast, I'll send a couple books out to you.
Okay. Well, and I'll have to get. I've viewed all the DVDs that you've given me, but I'll have to catch up on some reading here.
This is a concept that I admit, if you've never heard it before, it's not simple. What can you say about this? But again, the Israel that's going down the drain right now is the good Israel, the Israel of the Torah. It's being destroyed. Now, how long? There's a civil war going on in Israel, and the people don't even know it. And this, I almost died in Israel standing up for the Jews. This is what I was doing, was standing up not just for the Jews, but for my children and my relatives and my sister and my best friends. But a lot of people have died. I miraculously survived, but let me tell you, I survived with a bad stroke, not a horrible one, but it still affects me. A car crash where I was dead, and they revived me on the hospital table 3 times. Israel is a dastardly and dangerous place if you believe in Judaism. It is a really, really not nice place.
It doesn't sound like it.
All right, if that's your comment, I'll live with that. It actually isn't, but all right.
Well, I can't imagine, you know, any place that's got that kind of... but, you know, we hear about that going on over here, too.
No, you don't.
No,
you... Well, all right. You know what? You do. It's just not as rapid. Did you know Dennis Kucinich's brother? Dennis Kucinich was the Democrat who wanted Dick Cheney impeached.
Oh, is that where that... Because you had that on your
you bet
letter.
His brother was killed less than 2 weeks ago in his apartment all by himself in Cleveland. Paul Wellstone, a nice Jewish man from Minnesota, I believe he was the only congressman who voted against American troops entering Iraq. He died with his wife and daughter over Duluth in a highly suspicious plane crash. John Kennedy Jr., who exposed the Rabin conspiracy in a grand article in March 1997 in George magazine, was blown up over Cape Cod. Yeah, you do have it. But in Israel, that country's not going to be around in a year or two. It's just more intense.
And do you think that possibly the same thing is going on there that may be going on here? Is there after
no,
the resources?
All right, look. What you've got going on is an America that will change. You've got a tremendous number, maybe 40 million, incredibly, of immigrants from Mexico who were illegal at one time or illegal now. That is to force the Catholicization of the United States and change its voting patterns, and there are all kinds of reasons for that. You've got lots of headaches and problems. There's no question about that. Israel is surrounded by 80,000 missiles. Can you imagine that a crummy 4,000 missiles shot over 34 days resulted in all of northern Israel? 2 million people abandoning their houses or living in shelters to July before the last July. The next war, Israel's going to have 10,000 missiles shoved on Tel Aviv in the first day of the war, and the country will lose the war within 2 or 3 days. That's Israel's problem. And that's a big problem. You're going to see a little Holocaust. Half the Jews of the world live in Israel. You're going to see another Holocaust there, and that's not what's going to happen in America.
And what about all the nuclear weapons that you hear that they're...
Israel won't use them. You don't understand who's running the country. If Israel, again, it's July, it's 2005, Haifa is abandoned, Tiberias is abandoned, Sfat is abandoned. Nobody was talking about rattling nuclear weapons. Israel was going to go down without a fight.
Wow. Okay.
We've already tested that. The governors of Israel will not defend itself. This is a given. Don't even think that Israel will fight to defend itself. Its governing class has been thoroughly corrupted.
Okay. Now, you want to kind of sum up and then give your website again?
Is it summing up time?
Yeah, it is, actually.
Well, you know what? If anyone has recorded this, go back and try and sort it out. Covered more ground than you know. My books are on lulu.com. You go to www.lulu.com. In the right-hand corner, it says search. You write Chamish. That's my name, by the way. Chamish, and you will get to my books. By the way, they're $10 or less to download, and for $20, they get sent to your home within a week, and they're very nice books. Bye Bye Gaza is 419 pages. Save Israel is 370 pages, and there's more. So it's lulu.com for the books. The website is the BarryChamishWebsite.com, but just go to www.BarryChamish.com. You can phone me if you want the DVDs, which are not available at Lulu, and that's 904-501-7605. That's 904-501-7605. And if you like what I have to say, or not like, but at least are intrigued, you go to my website and write me, and I return every email I ever get.
Well, Barry, I appreciate you coming on and speaking. I'm sorry that I wish my co-host had been here tonight. He helps fill in on some of these areas that I'm not as adept at. But I
next time. He'll
yes.
be back next time.
Yes, he will, and I will have read a few of these here. So I do again appreciate you coming on, and then we will try to get you up again next time, and we can kind of delve into these avenues that and spend a little more time at it. So thanks a lot, Barry.
We'll see you later.
Okay.
Bye.